Moving on to 8.0, economic development, we have under 8.1, rent appointment. You have that document in your hand. There is a recommendation. Who would like to take the lead on this? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality recommend to the South Shore Ren Liaison and Oversight Committee the appointment of its Chief Administrative Officer, Chris McNeil, to the South Shore Regional Enterprise Network Board of Directors, effective immediately, for the purpose of winding up the South Shore Ren as soon as possible to mitigate its future liabilities.
Seconder for that, Councilor Fisk. Would you like to speak to this here?
Briefly, we're all aware that the council's passed a motion previously indicating its wish to withdraw from the South Shore Ren. In conjunction with discussions with other municipalities, several others were already intending to do that, so we were simply doing it as well, because without full participation, we lose substantial funding, and that doesn't make practical sense to have a Ren with a couple of sporadic municipalities. And so right now, the Ren board does not have enough members to function with a quorum, mm-hmm. and so they can't make any decisions. Although we're in another fiscal year, we still have a number of staff down there. We have legal agreements for leases, photocopiers, those types of things, and so the board cannot make any decisions. So we were contacted yesterday, and after another one of the municipalities that's involved with this sought legal advice and suggested that the CAOs be appointed to the Ren board, effective immediately, and then they would then implement the required notice to employees to wind it up. They would provide notice to the leaseholds that we have leases for whether it's mm-hmm. property releasing, equipment releasing, in order to wind up the rent in an orderly fashion prior to the end of the fiscal year to mitigate our losses or to mitigate our financial burden on this, so we can then move forward with a new economic development model that's going to be positively productive for us. At the present time, this is a board that is essentially lame duck. They know that they're winding up, and they don't want to go spend financial resources or start implementing projects or programs when they know they may not be there. There's also the indication that some of the existing board members that are on there may resign in the very near future because they know there's no future for the board. So this provides us the opportunity with the CAOs to hopefully give an orderly wind-up of the board to protect the financial interests of these municipalities that we represent.
Councilor Fancy?
Okay, so let me try to get my head around all this. So the winding up, meaning you have to get people back on the board to get enough membership to be able to vote on, like with the leases and things, that you can be able to drop those, because if you don't have the people there, you can't even any lease agreements or anything else. You have to have enough people, enough a quorum to be able to get rid of the leases.
Absolutely right.
But the other end is, if there's some people going to stay on the RIN does not is still there, because there's going to be still members that haven't pulled out, right?
That's correct. So the REN, technically, if we're required to give 1 year's notice, 12 months notice, unless all departments agree, but what I'm saying is there's still two municipalities that have yet to give notice of withdrawal. We're hoping at this meeting, this scheduled meeting on June 20th, that those municipalities will come forward and say they make the decision as well. If they don't, then we're hooked into this system until March 31st, spending money that we don't have to spend. But in the interim, this board needs to make a decision to give notice to its employees that their employment is going to end on March 31st, so we don't continue that employment until March 31st, and then have to provide a severance after that, which is going to be further liability for the municipality. And the same with all the other leases that we have for the building space, for the equipment leases. We need to have the board in place to be able to give notice now that we're ending those leases at a specific period of time. Our hope is we'll be able to do it August 31st, September 30th, but it's going to depend on that meeting on June the 20th if the other partners come forward.
Right.
And also want to mitigate their losses. Otherwise, we're all contributing money to a board that isn't going to do anything,
yeah.
Which is unfortunate. We still have two holdouts.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other councillor have a question or comment? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Can I direct this to Chris? Chris, if and once this is dissolved and there's nothing, what is the next step? What is a replacement for that?
So we have sent a letter to the Minister of Municipal Affairs and requested that we be able to set up our own economic development body here in Queens. We have had discussions with Lunenburg just Lunenburg County. But my discussions with them so far is they're not interested. They want to do their own thing in Lunenburg County. And my understanding with discussions from the west as well with Shelburne County is they're more interested if they do something going to the western rent because they feel more aligned with the western rent. So it means we're an island under ourselves. So we have sent a letter to the Minister of Municipal Affairs requesting permission to set up our own quasi, I guess, economic development group with cost sharing from the province. And to date, the response back from the province is simply that until we finish up with the South Shore rent and determine what that's going to look like and if there are other partnerships to be had, there's no commitment from the province. But I'm hopeful, based on what I know with what's going on in Lunenburg County, they don't want us as a dance partner. Shelburne County wants to go with the western rents. They don't want us as a dance partner, so I'm hopeful that the province will come forward and provide cost sharing with us to set up our own economic development committee. And the composition of that and the look of that will be determined by council at a future date once we determine that that's an acceptable model for the province.
Thank you.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 9.0 corporate services, we have a number of items. I would ask Mike McLeod, our director of
planning,
to come forward and go through the department.
I'm looking at all of these items.
So under 9.1, job description development officer, we have a recommendation. Who would like to take the council news?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised development officer job description.
Seconder for that? Councilor Fisk. We have circulated that job description draft. Are there any questions on that job description as circulated? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. 9.2, job description, planning and development technician. Who would like to take the lead? Councilman Hughes?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised planning and development technician job description attached.
Seconder to that? Councilor Fisk. That draft job description was previously circulated. Are there any questions or comments of councilors on this one? Councilor Johnson.
With all these job descriptions, are there any staggering differences between the old job description and the new? And the second part of that question is just because there is a job description, that doesn't necessarily mean we're filling the vacancy.
That's correct. Essentially, these are just tweaking the original job descriptions to, I guess, better align the duties that are assigned to those individuals within the organization. So, no, they're both existing positions. So.
Councilor Kelly?
There's no, because some of the new ones do and some of the old ones don't, there's no, what do they call it, salary scale? There's no change in salary scales from one to the other, and therefore no budget implications.
That's correct. The salary ranges are the same as it previously were.
Any other questions or comments, councilors? Councilor Hanson.
Basically, when you're changing the job description, all you're doing is bringing it up to date to what they're actually doing, because the job description could change in the moment's notice, but you're just bringing it up to say this is what the person is actually doing, rather than what he isn't doing.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike, for that. Under 9.3, we have Council Implementation Report ending May 2018 for information purposes. CAO, would you like to comment on this as circulated?
It's a long list, and hopefully a lot of them will come off the list here today. If there's any comments on any of the ones that are on the list. Obviously, the list was prepared a few days ago, so some of them have changed in the last couple of days, but it should be all up to date as of today, with the exception of a couple.
Fort Medway Fire Department, a recommendation. We would like to take the lead on 9.4. Councilor Johnson.
We recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the draft loan with Fort Medway Fire Department in the amount of $35,000 to allow the replacement of the fire hall roof and steel doors, with the loan to be repaid over 7 years.
Seconder to that, Councilor Fisk. Second part. Next page.
There's more to that, right?
Yeah.
Recommendation. And that this is to be funded from the special operating reserve.
Thank you, Councilor Johnson. Seconder for that, Councilor Fisk. CIO, would you like to comment on this one?
We see the request from the Fort Medway Fire Department to replace their roof and their steel doors in their building. And they want to pay it back over 7 years. So everything's in the report, and the attachment to the agreement shows the repayment schedule, similar to what we've done in the past for other fire departments.
Any questions or comments of councilors on this one? Deputy Mayor McGrath?
That's an interest-free.
Yes, it's in the agreement.
Councilor Kelly?
I'm just curious as to, do we have a policy on this? Is there a maximum that they're allowed to ask for these interest-free loans? Is this a standard procedure that all departments are aware of, that they could ask for interest-free loans at any time for anything that they need to take care of at their fire departments?
There's currently no policy around a limit or anything like that. It becomes at the will of council based on what they're requesting, the repayment, and whether we believe they have the financial ability to repay the loan.
Now, do we, I mean, I see that both of these did not come in at time of before the budget was finalized and agreed on. Do we not have communication with them to let them know that if there is something that they need to come forward before budget, so that it doesn't have to come out of the operating reserves? Or is that standard practice? Would we take it at operating reserves anyway?
That's exactly correct. Yeah, we take it out of reserves. We take it out of tax rate?
No.
No, we come out of reserves. So
always.
When we get it during the year, it's irrelevant.
It
doesn't affect the tax rate.
Right, okay.
Councilor Johnson?
Just a quick question of clarification. This money is to replace the roof damage. Would it be just deterioration and wear and tear? Would it be something that would be insurable?
I assume based on $35,000, that's a complete new roof.
Mm-hmm. Just wondering what the details behind it, how the insurance policy works for these guys. It's done because of a windstorm or something like that.
If it was a windstorm, I assume that would have gone through the insurance policy, or the amount would have been substantially less than.
Yeah, I'm sure the source of that question needs to be asked.
Any other questions or comments of council? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.5, known as the Registered Fire Department, Liverpool Firefighters Association recommendation. Who would like to take the lead? Councilor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the draft loan agreement with the Liverpool Firefighters Association in the amount of up to $23,000 to allow for the purchase of a wire cage bunker gear storage unit, with the loan to be repaid over 5 years, and that this be funded from the special operating reserve.
Seconded to that, Councilor Crilly. CAO, would you like to give us an update?
Similar to Fort Medway, all the information is in the package as far as the report and the loan repayment schedule. They've asked for $25,000, but the information provided shows they only require the actual cost is $25,000 with HST, but they'll get the HST back, or they'll get a certain portion of that back. Mm-hmm. So there's the only need is to borrow the $23,000, which is in the recommendation. And the purpose is to buy wire storage for their bunker gear, and because council's been replacing all the bunker gear, now they want a nice storage unit to put it in to make sure it lasts the lifetime that it's expected to last.
Any discussion?
discussion, comments of council? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We now have come to 9.6, appointments to Queen's Place Premier Center Board of Directors. I would ask Megan Roberts if she'd like to come forward, please. There is a recommendation under 9.6. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councilor Kelly?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality appoint the following representatives to Queens Place and Merit Center Board of Directors effective July 1st, 2018. Michael Anthony, 2 years. Stu Horton, 2 years. Gregory Thorburn, 2 years. Council Member, 2 years. Tori Benedict, 1 year. Larry Cochran, 1 year. Hubert Rodden, 1 year. Council Member, 1 year.
Seconded to that motion? Councilor Fancy? CAO, we have a need for 2 councilors on this committee. How would you recommend that we proceed with those 2 members?
I would suggest that we go by expressions of interest, and if we have more than 2 members, then we would have a vote.
Okay. So who is a councilor is interested in being on the advisory committee at Queen's Place? We have Councilor Johnson, Councilor Fisk. Any other councilor have an interest to be on the advisory committee? Deputy Mayor Susan McLeod? So we have 3 that have indicated an interest. In that respect, we require 2. So we are going to have a vote. We will do that by secret ballot.
Since it's 2 positions, should we put 1 and 2 or just 1? Or both?
I would suggest that you would put your 2 selections.
Okay.
Yeah, priority.
These are for the 2 council members, and 1 is for 2 years, and the second one would be for 1 year, so put number 1 councillor for the first one, which is 2 years.
2 pieces of paper, right?
And the second councilor selection will be for the 1 year term. So on your ballot, mark the priority of the first for 2 years.
Okay.
Okay. All ballots collected?
No.
We will take a 5-minute recess while the ballots are counted. Hey, Christine? Okay. We will resume council meeting today. The result of the vote, we have for the 2-year appointment, we have Councillor Johnson. For the 1-year appointment, we have Deputy Mayor McLeod. An amendment to the motion to insert these names for council members would be in order. Do I have a move? Moved by Councilor Mews to insert Councilor Johnson for the 2-year term and Deputy Mayor McLeod for the 1-year term in this motion. Seconded for that? Seconded by Councilor Fisk. Any discussion? We're going to take a vote on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment? It is unanimous.
discussion on the motion as amended? Are you ready for the question on the amended motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion as amended? Councillor Kelly? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
We now have 9.7, appointment to the Heritage Advisory Committee. I would ask Mike McLeod if he would come forward on this one again. Who would like to take the lead on 9.7? Councillor Muse?
I so move that Peter Leslie be appointed to the Heritage Advisory Committee for a term to expire on October 31st, 2018.
Seconded for that. Councillor Fisk? Are there any questions on this recommendation and motion? Mike, would you like to add a short briefing on this?
Briefing under the region's heritage property bylaw, which sets out the establishment of the Heritage Advisory Committee. There are minimum of eight members to be appointed to that committee, including two councillors. I guess with everybody's busy schedules, as with most volunteer committees, there are times that it's challenging to get a quorum for the committee. We just have the minimum right now of eight members on that committee. So what we're trying to do is bump that number of committee members up. An expression of interest was sent out a month or so ago, and Mr. Leslie has certainly a keen interest in the heritage for this area, and is willing to sit on the committee.
Any questions or comments of councillors on this issue? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. We have nothing today under 10.0 engineering and works. There will be an update next meeting at council. Under 11.0 finance, I would ask Director of Finance, Jennifer Keating Weekly, if you'd like to come forward. There is a recommendation under 11.1. Who would like to take the lead on that? Councillor Moon.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize the Chief Administrative Officer and the Mayor to sign amendments 2018-01 to the pension plan for the employees of the Region of Queens Municipality, registration number 0324129, for submission to the Superintendent of Pensions.
Seconded for that? Seconded by Councillor Johnson. Jennifer, would you like to give us a brief update on this?
So I believe all the information is in your package. These were amendments made by the Superintendent of Pensions to the Pensions Benefits Act back in June 2015. So our plan has actually been following these amendments since June of 2015, and we were waiting for the Pension Benefits Act to kind of finalize what they wanted these regulations to look like and the wording that they wanted behind them. But all pension plans have been actually following the amendments since then, and so it's basically a housekeeping to change some definitions to kind of streamline the benefits and make them equal across plans. And so it's a housekeeping amendment, and they shall be filed with the Superintendent of Pensions as soon as Council approves their signature.
Any questions or comments of councillors on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, and you also have a brief update?
A little update, yeah. So the Region of Queens is looking into, or may consider, transferring our pension plan to the provincial plan. So there's a Nova Scotia pension plan, Nova Scotia Public Service Superannuation Plan. We can't do anything transferring our pension benefits, pension plan-wise, until both of our unions ratify. So we will be seeking the approval of the membership to see if it is something they would be in agreement with. And if at that time they are in agreement with the transfer, then we will research further the possibility of moving the plan. If there is a benefit to the Region of Queens, so if it's feasible to us and it looks like there's an improvement cost-wise, that kind of thing for us, It's only recently that the Nova Scotia, the PSSP plan, has allowed for additional membership from other agencies or other commissions. And there have been a number of municipalities and universities who have since joined, since they opened it up to them. So we believe it's in the best interest of the Region of Queens that we explore that option.
Any questions or comments of councillors on that issue? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Jennifer, the benefits of doing that is basically because you have a broader range of contributors.
We have 70 members here at the Region of Queens, and there's 17,000 members in the Nova Scotia plan. So, you know, safety in numbers.
Makes sense.
Yeah, better investments, and they have a board of trustees that manage the plan with certain expertise with those trustees.
Councilor Fancy?
Denver, does that change how the money's taken out and how it's all, like, I mean, sometimes pigeons, a lot of spots have changed over the years from defined contributions to defined benefits and things like that that will be in turn. It wouldn't affect your pension plan as per se for money-wise?
Shouldn't affect it, what you've earned or are vested in to date shouldn't be affected. There's a possibility that there would be improvements in costs, of course, because there's such a large membership that's moving. And it is similar, it is a defined benefit plan here at the Region of Queens, and so it's not exactly the same definition, but there are certain benefits that everyone would be would have attributable to them. So it's very similar to.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Jennifer, for the update. Appreciate it very much. I would ask Megan to come forward again. Under 12.0, Recreation and Community Facilities, we have under 12.1, North Queens Aquatic Center, travel allowance request, a recommendation. Who would like to take the lead on that, 12.1? Councillor Johnson?
I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize an over expenditure in the North Queens Aquatic Center travel budget of approximately $1,200.
Seconder to that, Councillor Fisk? Megan, would you like to give us an update on this?
I can. So a request was received from a potential candidate that we offered a position to in North Queens who would like the travel assistance to drive to work for the summer. And that's the request that you see before you.
Councillor Kelly?
I agree. You know, I know that you have problems getting staff out at North Queens, and it seems fair that the traveling option for those people to get to that position. What I want to question is, it doesn't seem very, I don't know, structured that we just say, okay, $20 a day. Don't we have a policy in place for travel expenses, and that you know, if we're allowing someone to claim for mileage, then they should just go through the process of putting in expense claim form and traveling and their mileage and get paid the whatever our going rate is or the standard provincial rate is for mileage. Why aren't we doing that? Why are we just saying give them $20 a day?
That is the request that we received, was for $20 a day, and it was based on precedents from previous years.
Okay, so I mean, but why don't we take that and make it proper as an expense? I mean,
you could, it would be a bigger expense.
But it still fits within our policy of claiming mileage. This just seems to be flying in the wind. Why, I mean, CAO, you got anything for me here? Please?
Well, the reason's here is because it's a challenge, because nobody in Canada is paid to go to work.
Right.
And so we can't provide mileage for somebody to go to work because it's not allowed under CRA rules.
Okay, thank you.
No different than councillors don't get paid to go to work.
Well, they do.
Well, this isn't your work. This isn't your place of work, though. This is your meeting.
Right.
And so staff don't get paid to go to work. That's your requirement to go to work. And so to provide mileage, we potentially would be breaking CRA rules. So the only way around is to provide a stipend here of $20 per day.
So, okay, so
the issue with our auditor and the issue with CRA.
Okay, so that makes sense then, so that we're basically just paying them more money for their job, so that that sort of allows them to, the money that's going to cost them to get back and forth to work.
That would simply reimburse them for their gas expenses.
Okay, I can live with that.
Councilor Fancy?
And also too, I take it is that this doesn't set a precedent of what we're doing, it's just because there's a need and we got to have somebody promote here. If it's somebody from Caledonia, you aren't going to say, well, they're going to get $1,200 next year. They're going to be living there, so they're not going to get $20 a day to travel. So we'd be looking at it differently next year, as we would, we're not setting as a precedent of what we're doing. We're just saying, in order to get someone out there,
so
we have to do this.
Unfortunately, everything we do sets a precedent.
Yeah.
So this came forward because we've done it in the past, and the person found out we've done it in the past, and so they've come forward. And next year, we could get somebody from West Caledonia who comes forward and says they want to be paid to drive to the pool as well, and you have the option. You pay it, or you don't open the pool, potentially.
Yeah.
And so it's a difficult situation we're in right now.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, in the sense of not a precedent, and that it just automatically is done. It has to come back here. It doesn't like, say, if once you say mileage, then you all of a sudden you're becoming, it says what we're doing.
Requests of these nature do need to come before.
Right.
Megan?
And this isn't to drive from Liverpool, it's to drive from Greenfield to North Queens.
Okay, well, yeah. Still the distance. Yeah.
Councilor Johnson?
Well, this is just one of the ongoing things that Megan has worked hard to keep that pool open. In support of this money, but the hard work that you did to try and keep that going, because you're going to hear a little bit later on here in the report I'm going to give, that, you know, leveraging that existing facility and what it means not just to the people of North Queens, but the fact that we double our population in the summertime with the cottage folks, and it's huge, and it's a huge competition for these people who work at the pool, because the LCLC is drawing our resources away. And I know through working with Megan and the training she's putting on, succession planning is hopefully within a year or two we're going to be able to be self-sustaining in the North Queens area again. But we certainly didn't want to lose, for the tune of $1,200, we don't want to lose the opportunity. So good job, Megan.
And councilors should keep in mind that there will be two individuals coming to the pool from Greenfield under the same vehicles. It solves a couple of issues. Any other questions or comments on this? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome.
And I would ask Mike McLeod. You seem to have a fair number of up and down issues today, but they're scattered through the agenda as where they need to be. 13.1, purchase of land, bid number 7008-1765. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councilor Fancy?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a purchase and sale agreement with James and Margaret Sapp for the municipal acquisition of a parcel of land identified as PID number 7008-1765, in comprising approximately 6.5 acres in area, for a purchase price of $1,500 plus associated land transaction costs.
Seconder to that motion, Councilor Fisk. Mike, would you like to give us a briefing on this?
Yep, just a little bit of background. We've been approached, the municipality's been approached by Mr. Sapp a little while ago regarding the potential sale of a parcel of Mr. Sapp's land to the municipality that's adjacent to land that the municipality currently owns to the north. The land is approximately 6.5 acres in area and is assessed at $1,800. Mr. Sapp has expressed an interest of conveying that land for $1,500 plus the associated land transaction costs, which would include migration to the land registry system, deed preparation, and deed recording. So there is certainly, as far as cost-wise, the land certainly is fairly reasonably priced, and being adjacent to municipal lands, which we've currently used for the extraction of some resource for ongoing infrastructure projects that the lands may also have some benefit in that regard as well. So staff is requesting that council approve the purchase and sale agreement for the 6.5 acre parcel of land.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Johnson?
So the land that we're looking at purchasing, pieces adjacent, right or left of it, as I look at this, that's not owned by the Region of Queens now. It's only the piece that's at the very, like at the very point of that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Any other questions or comments of councilors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. And thank you, Mike. Moving on to 14.0 reports, we have 14.1, North Queens Councilor Public Consultation, Councilor Gil Johnson. Councilor Johnson, the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. And I'll keep it short, knowing where we are with the time. But back on May the 1st, we had a community meeting in North Queens, and we called it Building Community Capacity Through Connectivity, which is basically leveraging partnerships, not just partnerships within the community, but partnerships throughout the county and beyond, you know, with the RCMP and Nova Scotia Health Authority, et cetera. We had 56 people turn out for an event in Caledonia on Tuesday night. I think that's a record, so there we go. But to that end, it just goes to show the amount of interest in that community and the fact that they do want to be sustainable and do want to grow and move forward. And before I go any further, I certainly want to thank Chris and the staff for the region who participated, Richard McClellan and the folks from the Recreation Department, and also the people from MPRI who helped facilitate the event. So those 56 people, what we did is we came up with 8 strategic things that the community need to focus on whenever we make decisions and whenever any kind of decision-making and opportunity arises. And if you listen, if you can align them with our 2020 document and a book that I have on my desk here that I know it really gives discomfort to the CAO, the 13 ways to kill your community. And I say this on behalf of the gallery, because if you see that, I'm not here on council to kill the community. But this is basically a Bible that I've read from the day that I've taken on this role that tells you the things that can really go sour and really go south. So anyway, our discussions, we had, we finally got to 8 strategic things: growing and enhancing the businesses, engage in enhancing the existing resources. So some of these things are going to sound terribly familiar. Don't forget about your seniors. The seniors offer a lot. Recreation, a huge piece of this around recreation, and recreation for all ages. The fact that we're going to be engaged and have local engagement with the Mira Center really helps with that part. Our youth have a voice and have a youth voice in the community. Community pride was a huge piece, which fits very nicely with what Jack has been doing with litter abatement and inclusion. Big initiative that's coming up is we're working hard at including what does it mean from the community school perspective and how can we get that more engaged in the community. And the 8th one that didn't result in a breakout group where we looked at strengths and weaknesses and opportunities was the healthcare one. And the reason why we didn't get and have a breakout group on that, because we felt if we did all other 7 right, doctor recruitment, nurse practitioner recruitment would come on its own. Once we show that community pride and the fact that we're showcasing our community, it would work from there. So we looked at, you know, existing roadblocks. We looked at, what exists today that we can leverage a bit more, and what are some of the unanswered questions. And a real theme that came out of it was that the fact that a lot of it is people don't understand how to leverage the partnerships, don't understand the partnerships exist, and a lot of it is around funding and funding trying to get more people engaged with the inclusion thing with all the different boards that that are available. And we heard last night at one of the Queens Community Health Board here, you know, just exactly how much that funding does help organizations, and people have to be aware of that. So where do we go from here? In the very near future, some of the things that we are working at, we're going to go back, look at what happened, whether it was by chance or by design, and put some measures to the success. And the big measure of success for what we found is that, yeah, we might have a new business in Caledonia or a new opportunity for you, but how sustainable is it? You know, has it been, you know, is it just a fly-by-night thing, or are we actually able to sustain that over a long period of time? And a lot of times we do that check mark of the quantity thing, but we don't do the quality piece. So that's one of the huge measures of success. Our plan is to get back together in the fall, relook at what we said we were going to do and who the community champions are. As we said, none of these things happen without community champions. You can't go look for, at the province to do it for you. You can't look at the feds, and you certainly can't look at the region of Queens to be doing it for you. The support's there, but you need to take ownership yourself. So that's basically a couple hours. Chris, if you had anything else you wanted to offer, but I appreciate the support of you and the folks that were there, and hopefully we can make this work. You know, make this community much better. And we've had a lot of success factors. We've had at least 6 new businesses within the last 3 or 4 months start up in North Queens. We're working at the with the school and what that means to be a community as a community school, and use a model from Forsyth, that model works really well. And when you break it right down, it just basically means coordination and communication of what is available and what's going on. And there's other activities there around you and things like that. So things are moving. It's not just ready, shoot, aim, it's ready, aim, shoot, I think. And that's the focus that we're taking in the community. So thank you for the time.
CEO, did you have something you want to add?
Just we have representation there with Richard Lane, Megan Roberts, and Norma Mayer were all present to interact, have discussions, and listen to the issues and concerns and recommendations from the people.
Any questions or comments of councillors? Yes, Deputy Mayor.
You did a great job, councillor and staff, and I think it's very important to open up lines of communication from the exterior points of our, you know, we're the hub, but that you need to engage everybody in our community. And that's one way to get them of the whole region.
Thank you. Any other councillor have a question or a comment? Councillor Bansi?
One thing to further what Councillor Jones has said. We were down to the South Shore Housing last meeting, and we're going to this fall, going through the senior aspect of it to be able to set up some meetings in Lunenburg County, and is coming over to Liverpool too. We're going to try to look at Liverpool and Caledonia for meetings on seniors with affordable housing, with regulations governing renting and all these type of things, and just look at plans of how we can go forward in the future. So that'll further to what he was talking about with seniors.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson, for your presentation. We will now move on to 15.0 in camera. A motion to go in camera would be appropriate. Moved by Councillor Frelick, seconded by Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any discussion? Everybody have a question? All those in favor of the motion? Opposed? Please be unanimous. Thank you. And we are now in camera, and we'll take a